Grand Rising, everybody. Natalie coming to you live. Spirit of Coffee. Got my coffee here. I must say it tastes lovely today. Sometimes it's just perfection. Make sure you're staying hydrated. Make sure you're drinking your water as well if you are drinking coffee. Okay, so we're reading the Emerald Tablet, and I wanted to kind of maybe move forward a little faster because some of the information is historical information, and I want to get to the papas and the meat, as they say. I want to get to the real good stuff, right? The juicy stuff about spiritual alchemy. But it started off with the Emerald Tablet, and so I'm just going to sort of gloss over a couple of, you know, what it's saying. The Emerald Tablet, Alexander the Great. Let me pull it up here. My apologies here. Let's see. Okay, here we go. So the Emerald Tablet, Alexander the Great discovered the original tomb of Hermes, according to the legend. There were events that took place after Macedonian king had conquered Syria and entered Egypt. So there, it gave him access to these treasures. And so before entering the crypt of Hermes, Alexander consulted a famous oracle to make sure the gods favored his decision. And then the dangers took through scorching deserts was alleviated by a cool north wind and brought rain. So he went to the temple and then dedicated the supreme god Amen, the hidden one, whose sacred names of the own prayer ended Amen. Okay, so Amen. So he continues to travel. He gets the Emerald Tablet. And the contents of Hermes' tomb, a new pharaoh placed the scrolls in the sacred archives of the Emerald Tablet. Okay, put them on public display. So again, it's all about Hermes and his tomb and the Emerald Tablet. Okay, and we're just going to continue to move forward. So we're going to go to Thoth. Now, Thoth, if you guys don't know, the first Hermes, right? Thoth being the first Hermes. Alex, his desire to become a god motivated his search for the tomb of Hermes, whom the Greeks considered the messenger of the gods. So he is the keeper of wisdom. And this is, you know, if we looked at it, it is Egyptian mythology that we talk about Thoth. Now, Thoth as an archetype, we can even call it an archetype these days. We have different language to describe sort of the same happenings. And the archetypal Thoth, right, is the person who is inquisitive or the one who is questioning. Thoth had other functions in mythology and in Egyptian mythology. So, but again, when people are looking for the truth or wanting the truth, they say that Thoth is the messenger of that truth. So, you know, we have today Christ being the one path to God. Thoth being not the one path, but the messenger, the one who brings you to the understanding of what God is and alchemy. He is the alchemist. He is the main alchemist. So pretty kind of cool. Thoth is a source of all natural law, shepherd of man, vehicle of knowledge. He is the higher mind in man that provides inspiration and inner knowledge. Okay. So according to Eber's papyrus 68-foot-long scroll on alchemy that has been called the oldest book in the world, man's guide is Thoth, who bestows on him the gifts of his speech, who makes the books and illumines those who are learned therein, and the physicians who follow him, that they may work cures. Okay, the revealer of the hidden, Lord of Rebirth. So he is a guide to alternate states of consciousness and initiator of human enlightenment. One of the Thoth scrolls, the Book of Breathings, taught humans how to become gods using the depiction of man's head. So here's the deal. They wanted these men, and this is what happened. when we say God, men become gods, people take that as an egoic thing. They take it as the ego, right? Like, oh, I'm God. No, you're never God. You're never the all-knowing God, but you are an extension of God, and God lives within you. So you are the face of God in a way, or you are, not even in a way, you are the face of God. You are the fingerprint of God. You are the extension of God. But people take this ancient wisdom and they misuse it, right? So if somebody said you can become a god, their ego steps in and they think they're going to be the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-controlling. And there are great consequences to doing this. So we have, and it leads to what we call in clinical diagnosis, I'm sure, is psychopaths and sociopaths and narcissists, which it would lead to that. Like, I am the God. I can do whatever I want. There are no consequences to what I do, when there are. Because one of the first principles in alchemy is cause and effect. And for every cause, there is an effect. For everything that we do, there's a counter, right? Everything that we do, something happens. It's motion, right? If we looked at it through the lens of light, which I'm reading right now, again, Walter Russell's work, he's amazing. I love the guy. He talks about it through alchemy. And in fact, his words put it in simple terms, very simple terms, that we are light and light is motion. So every time we do something, we're in motion, there is a cause, the cause being our motion, and the motion being something that we're up to, and there's a result from that. There is a consequence for everything that we do. Do we know what the consequence is? Not necessarily, right? We don't understand. We don't know. Hey, Debs. Hey, Brad. We don't 100% know. We can never know. We don't understand the effects of the things that we do in our daily life. They ripple out beyond our own understanding. So he taught humans how to become, usually depicted as a man with the head of an ibis, a wading bird with a long curved beak. So he embodies rational powers of the sun, as well as the intuitive, irrational energies of the moon. So he is the consummation and the bridging of the sacred feminine and masculine. He is the extension of that. So Thoth, if you were looking to for sacred wisdom or what truth is, and you were using alchemy, Thoth would be the guide to truth. He would be the person, or it's not really a person, but we'll just say it like that. He would be the energy, I would say, the archetype that would support you through that. So people asking what is truth are really working with what we call Thoth energy, or archetypal patterning of Thoth, or the character and myth Thoth. So he literally holds wisdom. And he holds the key to knowledge. And so through him, with him, I shouldn't even say through him, I say with him, we find our deepest inner truth and authentic self. And that's part of alchemy. So he is the great alchemist, okay? Thoth is the final judge who weighs individuals' true words, the innermost intent of all of our thoughts and actions, okay? It has been written that just before the Great Flood, Thoth preserved the ancient wisdom by inscribing two great pillars and hiding secret sacred objects in the scrolls inside of them. So they were hidden under the heavenly vault, which could only be found by worthy who would use such knowledge for the benefit of mankind. Well, here's the deal. We use this and we use it incorrectly. And guess what? Distortion. And we have this information that's been sort of manipulated and bended in ways that are harmful. So this sacred information that everybody can have access to is not always utilized in a way that's supposed to help humanity. Sometimes people get this sacred wisdom and they utilize it for their own manipulation, and their ego takes over and tries to control, use it to control. Now, here's the deal. Yeah, you can do that, but there are consequences again with doing that. There are things that are going to happen, set in motion. And is it good, right, wrong, or bad? No. In alchemy, we don't say any of it is good, right, wrong, or bad. But still, these ancient teachings are not just there for everybody to have, because you have to be able to, even for yourself, you have to be able to clean your body, your mind, your emotions. That's why this work isn't easy. Because we have to have right mind, right action, right direction. Our intentions need to be pure if we're going to use this information. It could backfire. It's almost like, think about it, because when we talk about spiritual alchemy, it's like being in it, like you're a chemist. It came from spiritual alchemy is why we have chemistry now. This is why we have chemistry, and people don't know this. But imagine being in a lab and they're saying use this material for good of humanity, and people are creating bombs. They're using it to create bombs. They're saying, well, okay, well, now I know how to put these chemicals together, and now I can explode everything up. Nuclear warfare. Now, if we go back historically, there are places where they believe that we hit these heights of technology where we destroyed our own self. Like, humans destroy themselves. I know that we're so afraid of all this other stuff, but the reality is that we self-sabotage. We kill our own self. If you look back in history, we've been doing it forever and ever and ever. We're so worried about, I don't know, these things that we can't see coming to harm us, when really we're harming each other. Really, we're harming ourselves. And we keep repeating this pattern and this story over and over and over again. It's been repeated through history. They believe that there was a big nuclear explosion. There's, and I don't know where it's at. You guys help me if you remember. But there is a place where they found skeletons that were, they were just demolished. And it was from nuclear energy. So we've been playing, and if you look back in Egypt, if you look back at the depictions of Egypt, right, the hieroglyphics, if you start looking at the pictures and how they were speaking or drawing things out, they showed people trying to use alchemy to morph things into different things. Was that really for the benefit of humanity? I don't know. I'd say probably not. So when you utilize this and you bastardize this information, the consequences are detrimental to not just you, but to others. And we don't know how they're going to show up. So this information in the wrong hands really can go bad. And guess what? Information has been put in the hands of individuals who are not utilizing it for the betterment of humanity. We have right now, if we looked at the world, we have many countries with nuclear warheads. That came from spiritual alchemy into alchemy, and it's the misuse of this information. That information in the wrong hands with the wrong mind. Now, here's the deal, because that is such a powerful thing to have. Nuclear warheads is no joke. It'll wipe out a whole civilization. It'll wipe us out for good. We human beings can go extinct from this kind of alchemy. And I think with the wrong mind, let's just say we get somebody in there who has a completely psychopathic mind, meaning that they don't care or have emotion or not grounded in the rational mind and not grounded in emotion and are completely disconnected from their connection to earth and to love. Literally, this information can twist the storyline into total destruction. So that is why this wisdom is hidden from a lot of people. Now we teach it, and you'll see that there'll be teachers. They call it 144,000 ascended masters will arise at a very important times in life. You have these great teachers who show up to teach the great work. They teach the great work in hopes that we can do better, in hopes that we can create a world where we are loving our brothers and sisters, where we're coming together in unison and using this great work for the betterment of humanity. And there are people doing that as well. Now, why not a nuclear warfare right now? Because there are people at the top that have the power to unleash this stuff, but they understand that the consequences are so vast. They don't even know what the consequences are going to be. You know, they've probably tried to map it out, calculate it, see what would happen. And then they said, wow, this is too much power. Even they're afraid of all that power. It's too much. Who wants to be responsible for wiping out our entire species or most of it? Who's willing to push the button? That's why we have people talking right now to try to say, okay, now how do we do this? But we still are we're really at a point right now in history where we don't know where the minds of some people are. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not necessarily a battle of blood yet. That's not where we're headed. If we can change the story, you have teachers showing up, not just me, but you'll hear alchemy. I mean, there's all these programs that are out there that are trying to get people to wake up to who they are, because we don't need to fight. There's no need to have war amongst each other. They are turning us into the battlefield. In other words, we are turning on our brothers and sisters. Why? Look at the storyline. Pay attention to the language. Have you turned on someone you love recently because their choices? And I don't mean choices like, you know, harming others, but if you look at the storyline of where we're headed, it's war against each other. It's separation. It's not unity and love and compassion. That's not the storyline, at least they're feeding you on the media. I mean, I don't watch TV. Honestly, it doesn't live within my worldview. I have to remember to connect to the earth, connect to the oneness of God, right? And that's what the one thing and the one mind. So when we have the right mind, right heart, right intention, this work can create a world of beauty. But in the wrong hands, we end up with the distorted world. And this world is seen through the lens of distortion right now. Complete distortion. It's almost mind-boggling to me that some individuals cannot see it. Or some are just avoiding it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't you want to live in a world of harmony? That is possible. But it starts with us, right intention, right mind, right heart. And it takes us tapping into the sacred teachings of spiritual alchemy and understanding it, meaning understanding the sickness that lives within us and actually working with it to heal it, to restore it to life, to beauty, to oneness, to wholeness. We have all of these fragmented things inside of us. They're all fragmented and they're battling. We have different personalities calling forth within us, wanting our attention. All those personalities or archetypes are trying to bend reality in a certain way. They're trying to make you see reality from a certain lens or a certain scope. But if we said, okay, well, we have all of these, what archetype, what personality is trying to bend my reality the most? Now, yesterday I talked about quieting the mind, and not quieting the mind, but quieting your space, your location, and allowing that space to be quiet, to start to listen to the internal dialogue that's happening in the head. What personality and archetype is taking the reins? Who's driving the ship? Well, you say, well, who's me? Well, who are you? There's a quality and energy. If we're not working in light, we're working in darkness. Now, people will be like, ooh, I'm not dark. No, what I mean by darkness is that you're not working and operating in awareness, in the light. Light is being aware. If you're not aware of what's in operation within you, you're working in the dark. You're just going on like autopilot and just whatever. You don't even know what you're talking about. Or what you're talking about is just, what is it doing for you? What are you listening to? Are you listening to the dialogue in your head? Are you avoiding it? So then why are you avoiding it? But in order for us to bend reality into harmony and peace, we have to understand the fragmented issues that are going on internally. What in the hell is happening inside of you? What? It's good to listen to somebody else doing great and somebody else who's maybe has quote unquote the answers. They don't have the answers for you. I'm sorry. I don't have answers for you. I have a lot of questions for you. You have answers. You have the answers. They all live within you. You have them all. Promise. That is your birthright. That is your gift. That is the gift that was given from the divine, the sacred. You have the every problem and every remedy that you're looking for exists within you, not outside of you. But you have to understand what's happening inside of you in order to resolve and to heal. What is the conversation internally? What's happening? What's going on in there? And what's taking the reins? So when you start, the way that you can do it is to start to look at the different personalities that are drawing your attention forth, right? And like, what's talking to you? I can tell you, I know all the archetypes that exist within me, all the energies that exist within me. I know who's driving the ship at what time. Now, people will say, well, God is. It's God. Okay, great. But we're an extension of God. And in that extension, you have your own unique patterning. That pattern is allowing you to create in this material world. If you understand the patterns that exist within you, then your creation, the extension of who you are, comes naturally. You don't have to go trying to figure it out, because it'll actually, it's like a lotus flower. It just, or a flower blooming. It just evolves. It blooms without, outside of you. There's no need to try to figure it out externally by keeping yourself busy. See, it just happens. It's an unfolding from within and then externally. So as you look at those archetypal patterns, or you look at those personalities or energies, or however you want to say it, that exist within you, you can ask yourself, who's taking the wheel? And what do you want? What are the intentions? You can ask. Like, you can ask. Like, people will be like, I must be crazy. I'm talking to myself. No, you're not crazy. But what's answering back? What energy is answering you back is the question. What are they trying to do? Is it harm or is it help? There are energies that come to harm. I mean, it is true. They're harmful, right? They come and they sabotage you. And they sabotage everyone around you. And then you go, I don't know why that happened. I didn't mean to do that again. Well, are you talking to that energy that's coming around and saying, look, that's not okay. Look, energy, we need to shift you here. There's goodness in you. There's goodness in everyone. But what are we listening to? Are we listening to the goodness in us? Or are we listening to those voices that want to go and rage war on everybody? And we all have them. See, back in the day, they went and talked. We couldn't talk about this so openly, right? Because it's like, you're crazy. Oh, that person's crazy. Like, we're all just perfect. Yeah, right. Get out of here. Anyone who says that they're perfect, I'm like, okay. You have a journey to go on. A journey, because that's what this life is, right? It's part of the coming into oneness. It's part of the philosopher's stone, right? You have to go under extreme pressure and understand in order to come out as a diamond. Diamonds don't just happen. They happen under pressure. Stones don't just happen. They happen under pressure. That's part of alchemy, is that extreme pressure where things just get really, really rough. But at the end of it, we have our greatest jewel. And so some of these energies that exist within us are applying pressure. And you can talk to them. You're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. It's all spiritual. And sometimes we have these spiritual warfares, and that's where we're at right now. We're in a spiritual warfare right now. And everything is testing you and seeing, you know, are you going to give in? Are you just going to live in the dark? Are you going to transcend the dark? Well, the light's always with you. If you looked in tarot, I talk about tarot, right? Because tarot is an alchemic process. It's a spiritual alchemic process, if you didn't know that. There's something called the hermit. And the hermit holds a lantern. If you look at the card, the hermit holds the lantern. And the hermit is in the darkness, right? He descends into the darkness. You know, the word hermit comes, right? Where you're like, oh, I'm a hermit. I stay home. I don't do anything. I hide out, kind of. But we have the light within us. The lantern's always there to lead the way. There's also another depiction of the moon. The moon is a part of the tarot as well. And the moon talks about like reflections in the darkness. But the moon does still provide the light. There's still some light available to us because the light is always there. It's never going to go away. But we also have this shadow, this dark, and it's okay to understand that. But you have to work with it and understand it in order to work with it and overcome it. Now, we don't get rid of it. That's not the point. And that's never the point in alchemy. And that's one thing. That's another lie that's been fed to us. Just get over it. We can program you so that you don't have bad thoughts. No, you can't. We live on the 3D time space dimension. We're matter. We're very dense matter. Human beings are very dense. Okay. We're not light. If we were full light, we wouldn't be here. Okay, we're matter. We're a vessel. And that matter is very dense and it's very grounded. And that's where our suffering comes from. But that's okay. There's a way to move through the suffering. Do we ever get rid of it? No. And if somebody tells you that, yes, you can get rid of it, then punch him in the face and ask him if that hurt. Because it's going to hurt him. Right? So we still suffer here in some way. But there's ways to overcome it. And there's ways to train ourselves through it. But you have to understand your suffering before you can move through it. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to overcome my suffering. That's it. I don't have suffering. I don't have suffering. That doesn't work. You don't just say, I don't have it, and it disappears. It's not how it works. That's like, I said it the other day. It's like putting shit under the rug and then putting perfume on it and expecting it not to be there. It's there. Oh, it's totally there. It never went anywhere. But we learn how to work with it. We learn how to take that murky murk or the poop or whatever you want to call it, and we learn how to change it into something else. That's the act of spiritual alchemy. That's chemistry. And we have that ability to do that within us internally. And so the energies that you're working with, if you're wanting to transmute them and if you're wanting to transform them, is to get to know them. The only way to get to know them is to dialogue or have a conversation with them. And try to understand what their intentions are, why they are here, why they are in you, why do they exist in you, and then ask them, you know, because then once you understand this, then you can say, oh, like for me, in my energies, and I'll speak for myself so you understand, is that I have what I call the Buddha-like or Christ-like energy within me. I have the Thoth energy within me, and I have Aphrodite energy within me. See, I have the fire, I have fire within me. Now, Aphrodite is a little bit manipulative. She exists within me, and I can feel when her energy is surfacing. See, that's the difference between the beginner and the master. The master knows when these energies are arising in them. I already know what's happening. I can already tell what's happening as it's arising. Now, here's the deal. Who's taking the wheel? Am I going to let her take the wheel? There might be times when it's important for her to. However, who takes the wheel more often? The Buddha and the Thoth energy. Those two are actually greater inside of me and have more say inside of me than the manipulation. So it's working with the manipulation, right? And through it and understanding it. Now that takes transcendence of the ego, because the ego wants to be right. See, the ego wants to be right. For me to call myself out, or for someone to call me out, if the ego wanted to be right, I would get upset, right? I'd be like pissed off. Rather than that, I'm inquisitive and questioning. But I've learned to be that way. It wasn't just easy. It didn't just come overnight. There were energies inside of me that were battling to be right. They had to be right. And they weren't. None of them are. Because we're only light, we're only love, we're only God. That's it, in motion. So these energies that come to try to manipulate, there's a wanting to misuse our its own for the own ego. It's really the ego that's fighting to survive. When we transcend that egoic patterning or the ego's stance to hold on to us, we can start to question and not be attached. That's where non-attachment exists. And that's where we start to experience these states of transpersonal experience, or what they call the non-dual. So it takes a lot of work to get there, right? But once we understand, and then we say, okay, what is it that you want? And then how do I work with this energy rather than against it? If you work against the energy, you're going to cause more suffering. Working against it is saying, not today. No, sometimes we have to let it move through us. But when we allow it to move through us, we have practices that are not harmful to others that and help us. Like I do Kung Fu. That's part of my warrior goddess, right? Where I need to release that energy that's inside of me that, you know, has road rage. I don't get mad easily, but I tell you what, put me on the road with these people that drive so terrible. You guys will hear me say this like a million times, but the road rage, right? Or whatever anger, frustration. So it lives within all of us. So how do we, what's the outlet? What do we do? Right. And I know Betty's not here. I know she crochets. So that, you know, there's things that we do. There's practices that we have. And each archetypal pattern might have a different practice. The practice of thought, read. I read a lot. I'm in, you know, programs. I'm going to get my PhD. That's more my intellectual thought-like energy that lives within me. You know, and then the Buddha or the Christ that lives within me. The Buddha and the Christ that lives within me wants to teach people how to transcend, wants to teach people how to find their own path, wants to remind people that they have the power within them to overcome and that they are the extension of God. And I understand all these energies. I have a childlike energy inside of me, a kid that wants to play and takes nothing seriously. So I'm all of those and none of those at all. Right? That's where you're the everything and the nothing. Our vessel does hold these energies inside of us. And we don't have to deny it. We don't have to pretend it doesn't exist, because it does. It exists in you. But you have your own unique pattern of energy that exists within you almost like the DNA that exists in us. It's unique to you. It's like your fingerprint. I call this all the time. You have your unique thumbprint or fingerprint. You have your own unique archetypal patterning that exists within you. That energy that lives within you, those personalities that exist within you, make you who you are. Now, if there's one that's causing more suffering than the other, then all you need to do is to transform that energy. Learn how to find its polar opposite and work with it, not against it. That is the reason why people are where they're at right now. I can tell you that right now. We're working against ourselves, not with ourselves. Work with yourself. Why would you work against yourself? Why? Don't work against yourself. Work with yourself. If you're sick, work with your sickness, not against it. Don't rage war against your sickness. Work through it. Overcome it. Transform it. It's part of you. Our sicknesses are part of who we are. So work with it to transform it into something else. That's alchemy. Not raging war against yourself. There is no need to fight with yourself or rage war against yourself. Love yourself, nurture yourself, care for yourself. Take time out when you need to take time out. If you're angry, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Learn how to work with your anger, not against it. When you work against it, you start to, that anger, frustration, or whatever, depression, whatever energy you're working with, when you start to do that, it starts to expand into your worldview, into your paradigm, into the way that you live your life. And then it expands further and further and further. You have the control over your own vessel and your storyline. So reclaim your authority over that. Reclaim your power. And leave your unique fingerprint in the world, because you do have it. And every personality is different. No two people are alike. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to me, that's freaking amazing. Now, if people can learn to utilize this energy and redirect it in a way that's loving, we transmute it within and redirect it into loving kindness externally. And we get faster as we practice, and then we become masters of this, of our own universe. See, we want to, one last thing, we want to master everybody else's world, right? We want to master everybody else's world, and we don't even know how to master our own. How in the world does that make sense? Does it? We want to tell people what's best for them, and we're not even doing what's best for us. How does that make sense? It doesn't. Well, that person's doing this, and that person's doing, well, what do you do? How are you loving yourself? And I don't even mean being mean to yourself. How are you loving yourself? How are you taking care of yourself? How are you spending time with you? Spend time with you. Go take yourself out on a date. Go take yourself out to whatever, a treat. Go take yourself out to a massage. Are you spending time with you? I know Betty is. I know Betty loves spending time with herself. And I love that about you. Go spend time with yourself. It's okay. You know, sometimes we're avoiding ourselves. That's why we go and redirect our conversations about everybody else and what they're up to. Who cares what they're up to? What are you up to? I want to know what you're up to. What are you up to? Are you doing? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are you creating? I love to see people creating new things, and they have businesses, and they're being successful, and they're really into their stuff. And I'm like, that is so awesome. So there you have it. I love it. Let's see. Lesson learned from one of my greatest teachers. Sometimes we go through the junk only because we're then more equipped with the greater ability to reach someone else. Amen. And we have to. That's what we have to do. We have to go through the shit in order to help, right? But go through it. That's the point. The point is that we've got to go through it. You can't just deny it or act like it doesn't exist. And guess what? I'm going to say it again. You're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not mentally ill. There's not problems with you. You just, nobody was ever taught. And they don't teach us this shit. They don't. You don't go to school and they teach you how to deal with the energies and archetypes that live within you. They tell you behave, be good, or stand in the corner. Or I'm going to call your parents, or you're going to the principal's office. They don't say, well, let's understand what's happening inside of you. Why do you feel like you're having this dialogue? Why do you think you're afraid? Why do you think you're sad? Where do you think that comes from? How can we overcome this? How can we work with this? They're not telling you that. No one's telling you that. So you get to tell you that. Or you get to come to people remind you to tell you that. Because they're not going to. I promise. Your job's not going to do that. Your job's not going to say, oh, you're angry today. Let's work with that. Let's see. Why do you think you're angry? How do we overcome this? What practices do you have? And they're not going to coach you. That's what a coach does. That's what a life coach does. They're like, where's your performance in your report? You're not making your numbers. You better do it or you're out the door, buddy. That's what they tell you. So spend time with yourself. Give yourself time. Like, look at your schedule. And here's one thing you could do. I don't know what people's schedule are. Nobody's sharing on here. You guys are more than welcome to share, right? Type in and share and stuff. But here's the deal. Look at your schedule if you have one. If you're a person who has a set schedule. And if you're not a person that has a set schedule, either way, look at your schedule or look at what you're doing with your day and ask yourself, am I putting time in for myself today? Just 5 minutes. And in those 5 minutes that I'm putting to myself, just myself, not being busy doing something, just being with yourself, how are you utilizing that time? If you can give your day, your entire day to a job, if you can give your entire day to your kids, if you can give your entire days to the busyness of, I don't know, you guys may be married. I don't know what's going on in your guys' life. If you can give all your time to that, why can't you give 5 minutes of time to yourself, to you? Don't you think you're worth it? Don't you think you're enough? Don't you think you matter? Everything else in the world matters, right? Like the job. Oh, but wait, we forgot about ourselves. I can't even give time to me. That's sad. That is not how this world should be working. So I give you permission to give time to yourself. Give yourself some time. And I don't know, it's hard. People want to be with other people. If you can't spend time alone, ask yourself why. Why can't you just be with you? What are you avoiding? So there you have it. And of course, time is always important. You go to my Facebook at Spirit and Coffee Talk. I'm doing a live session. I have 10 slots available for, I'm calling it time management. It's beyond that. It's the alchemy of time to really go over what is time and how do we utilize it and stuff like that. You guys are more than welcome to be a part of it. I am going to continue to do those and set them up and stuff like that. And I might do I set up a extra Spirit and Coffee where it's like a paid event, and it won't be so, because with these podcasts, you guys, I'm all over the place, and that's just the way I run my podcast. I've always done it. It's really, that's what it is. That's how Spirit and Coffee rolls. It's whatever happens. But these other ones are actually pointed and structured, and they're courses. I'm going to be doing that. I set up another account on the Podbean. People can pay a minimal amount or whatever to come in and for teachings and practices. So, but I'm also doing it online And I'm doing it on Zoom. So you can meet me if you want to and work with me if you choose to. Totally up to you. But again, take some time for yourself, you guys, please. You matter too much. You mean too much. This world needs you. You wouldn't be on here if you didn't know that something inside of you was saying you're needed. Your unique gifts are being called forth. And it's a scary thing to know that that's what's happening to some people, but that's what the world needs. They need your gifts. And it takes you really getting clear with you and spending time with yourself, okay? Everyone is unique in their own way. Amen, coffee time. And I like that. You have coffee in the name. Woo woo. And what is this, Sugoi? I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to filling, what is that suit? I'm probably saying that totally wrong, but is that like feeling? Yeah, tell me a little bit about that real quick. So it means feeling amazing, awesome. So like, that's right. It's Japanese. Ah, cool. Are you from Japan? I just want to talk to you real quick. Are you from Japan? And if you're from Japan, are you spiritual and are you Buddhist? I know I'm from Canada. Oh, okay, cool. And you're into Japanese culture, I'm assuming, which is cool. Let's see. Yes, I am. Okay. Awesome. Japanese culture. Yes. All the beautiful culture. So are you, I asked if you're a Buddhist. Are you saying yes, you are to Buddhist? Or do you walk the path of Buddhism? I should say that. Not are you Buddhist? Not really a religion. Do you walk the path of Buddhism? No, I'm not. Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know if it came from that. I am Christian. Okay, awesome. So you walk with Christ. Beautiful. Love it. Good. So let's see. Yes, ma'am. That's so awesome. All right. See, there you go. The light exists within you, right? That's Christ. Christ lives within you, dwells within as a light shining deep inside. So there you go. Coffee time. Amen. Amen. Coffee time. And I like that, with feeling amazing. I like it. Coffee time with feeling like the show. Yes. Cheers to you and to coffee time. Anything coffee, I don't know. I'm never going to get over this coffee thing. Hello, spirit and coffee, right? yeah, anytime. So thank you guys for joining me. I love you guys so much. Please take time for yourself. I urge you to do that, okay? You guys matter too much. And you guys have a great legacy to leave in this world. And people are waiting for you to just be the magnificent person you are. And if I am, I know I am. You're welcome. Awesome. So have a great day. And I won't be seeing you tomorrow because I work. This is the only day I go to work. Yeah, I work one day a week. It's totally awesome. But I will be seeing you guys Monday. So have a thrilling Thursday. And I will see you guys soon. Bye.